your Bibles there as well.
Acts chapter 16.
Here in a few moments as we get into our lesson, we're going to read a few verses there in that book and chapter. As we begin, let me take this opportunity to once again welcome all those who are out with us tonight. Thank you for being here this evening. I know there's other places to be on a Sunday afternoon, and I just appreciate you all so very much that you're here, that you're faithful to the servant that chose and made the effort to be here. It says a lot about you and your love for God, and I appreciate that very much. I want to remind you that all we're interested in here is the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free," John 8 and verse 32. And so this evening, I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here to my left, and I'm going to provide you a book, chapter, and verse for everything I've got to say here tonight, so you might know from where it is that we're gathering these things. Over the time of our pandemic, there has been times where we've only been able to meet on one service, and there's lessons that I had prepared for other subject matter, so it is for tonight. I'd like to talk to us about the church at Philippi. I had prepared to talk to us about that a couple of months ago when we were focusing in on the church. You may recall that, again, our theme for the year is a church with 2020 vision. And this month we are looking at love, and we have talked about love yet this one time today. And tonight we're going to talk about the church at Philippi, because the church at Philippi was one of the finest churches in New Testament days. And I want to call your attention to some of the things that made it so outstanding. As you and I endeavor to work here together to be a part of the Lord's church at the Clarksville, Indiana area, I want us to take a look at the things that sets the church at Philippi apart from so many churches in the world today, and make sure that we can emulate these. Matter of fact, I'd just like to utilize them as a little checklist tonight, if you wouldn't mind, as you think about our work here at Clarksville, to see whether it is that we are emulating these things. You know, if we emulate the things that the church that Philippi did, we can be just as grand as the church at Philippi, can't we? We certainly can. If we see what it is that made them so outstanding, we can look and see the things that we can do to make ourselves outstanding in the sight of God as well. The first thing I want to draw your attention to that I like so much about the church of Philippi is that it had a scriptural beginning. I ask you to turn to Acts chapter 16. I want you to take a look at verses 14 and 15 with me very quickly. In Acts 16, 14 and 15, I read, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, stay, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide with us." And she constrained with us. And ladies and gentlemen, what we just read about is the beginning of the church at Philippi. We have Lydia and her household, whoever made up her household, heard the word of God and believed it and was baptized. But if you continue on in the book of Acts, you'll see that the church didn't stop growing there. In verse 24, it says, speaking of a jailer, it says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and gave the jailer charge to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast." And you may recall about midnight, Paul and Silas are singing praises unto God and praying, and everyone there in the prison, including the jailer, would hear them. There was an earthquake at midnight. And when this man saw that all people were still there and his life was no longer in danger, it says that he asked for a light, and he came to Paul and Silas and fell down at their feet and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And as they go on in that story, you may recall that there Saul said, or Paul, the Apostle Paul on that occasion said, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all your house, and you and your household should be saved." The word of God was proclaimed to them. And then verse 33, "And he was baptized, he and his entire house, immediately." What I like about the church at Philippi is that it had a scriptural beginning. People hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and were being baptized just like it was on the day of Pentecost. "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 41, I read that those that gladly received the word were baptized. And then in verse 47, the Lord added them to the church daily, such as were being saved. The gospel was being proclaimed. The seed of the kingdom was being spread, as Jesus called in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. And the kingdom was sprouting up. You know, so many churches today are the result of folks just dividing, not being able to get along whatsoever. Whatever fuss or fight comes up, and they begin to bite and devour one another. That's what Paul warned in Galatians 5 and verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, be careful that you be not consumed one of another. And churches today will consume one another by fussing and fighting, and the Lord's body begins to divide in unscriptural ways. Reminds me of the story one time of the fellow that got shipwrecked down in one of those Pacific islands, and he was there for some 20 years, and he was finally found, and the folks found him, and a reporter went up to him and said, "I see that you have built here three large structures." He said, "What is that one?" He said, "Well, that's the home that I've lived in for the last 20 years. He said, "Well, what is that one?" He said, "Well, that's my church that I go to." He said, "Well, what's this third one?" He said, "Well, that's the church I used to go to." Is they get to fussing and fighting, and they move on. Todd Rogers, those of you who got to meet him this summer, who did our gospel meeting with us, the first time I met him, he had been a Christian long, although he was already starting to try to preach the gospel, talked to me about this type of subject, said he went back home to his hometown, opened up the Yellow Pages to see where he might worship that Sunday, and he said there was a number of churches of Christ there in that little town that he was from, and he said, "I just was amazed by how the Word of God had so much influence in his little town, he didn't even know it," but he said 3 years later as he went out, he realized that this was what it showed was how the brethren there in that little town couldn't get along. That's the reason why there was a congregation on every corner. Because they began to bite and devour one another. Let us work humbly and meekly, striving after peace and unity here at Clark Show. One of the things I love so much about the Church of Philippi was that they had a scriptural beginning. But also, they were fully organized. Ron Will read so well a few moments ago from us as the church there received their letter. The church at Philippi, the Philippians. He saw the Apostle Paul there wrote to them. He says, "To the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons." They were fully scripturally organized. The Apostle Paul, as he's getting ready to go to Judea, and he's going to see the Ephesus, he wants to go and see the elders at Ephesus. And I read there in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20, and he summoned the elders of the church. In verse 28, he said, "Take heed unto yourselves and over the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed that church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Every congregation had a set of elders that fed it and led it. In Acts 14 and verse 23, "And after they had ordained elders in every church." In Titus 1 and verse 5, Paul said, "This is the reason I left you in Crete, to finish that which is wanting and ordain elders in every city." Too many congregations have settled to be unscripturally organized. And because of that, they have floundered and they have not grown and they've not had the impact that they need to have. We are scripturally organized here at Clarksville, but we need to be working to make sure that this congregation, from generation to generation, is scripturally organized. That's how God wishes for it to be, and that's what we must strive for and make sure that we are. One of the things that made this church so good was the fact that it was scripturally organized, and every local body needs to be such and be working towards such, not only now, but also in the future. But I'll tell you another thing I liked about the church at Philippi, and that is that it supported gospel preaching. Again, Ron read in Philippians 1 and verse 5, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the beginning even unto now." We could see the beginning of that in Lydia and her household as she constrained them to come into the household so she could support Paul and Silas and those that were with them even then. They they were interested in supporting the preaching of the gospel. For even in Thessalonica, you sent unto my necessities, Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 16. We need churches of Christ that are able to support gospel preachers, not only in their locale, but also abroad. That is one of the main things the church must be about, is preaching and teaching the gospel. Paul said, I've written these things that you might know how to behave yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are the pillar of the truth. We are the ground of the truth. And we support that truth by supporting men who preach and teach the gospel. Not only here, but anywhere the gospel may be heard. I've been a part of congregations, and I've done gospel meeting with congregations. There was one congregation that I did a meeting with that supported 50. Gospel preachers. I went to another one in Tennessee, and they supported over 100. When I was at Traders Point, not only did they support me very well, but we supported over 36 gospel preachers. These are great things. The congregation here not only supports me, but we support Brother Ping and Vin Sins. That's a great thing. We have fellowship in preaching and teaching the gospel, not only in Clarksville, but we're supporting gospel preaching in other places. That's what churches need to be about. And once again, the church at Philippi did that, and we're emulating there now. And I commend all of us for that, and our elders for doing that, and you, brethren, for giving in such a way that we're able to do that. But not only now, ladies and gentlemen, but in the future, we need to make sure that things are set up so that this church is always supporting the preaching of the gospel. The church at Philippi supported gospel preaching, but also they were bold to speak. Paul was grateful for the boldness in the church. In Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, and many are waxing confident in my bonds and are much more bold to speak the gospel without fear. The gospel must be proclaimed boldly, not timidly. It cannot be preached with apology. It needs to be preached and proclaimed as it is, the words from our Creator, the King of this universe, and it needs to be spoken boldly. In Proverbs 28 and verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions. Not arrogant, not presumptuous, but bold in our confidence that we are standing for the truth. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. In Romans 10 and verse 20, Paul said, Isaiah very boldly says, the church here at Clarksville needs to be bold in our stand, as bold as lions. Not arrogance in our own selves and in our own abilities, but what it is that we're standing for. We are standing for God, and we are standing for the truth, and we are bringing honor and glory to our God, and because of that, we have confidence. And in that confidence, we can be bold in the things that we preach, and the things that we teach, and the things that we proclaim here at this place. The church at Philippi was bold to speak, but also it did evangelism God's way. The church sent directly to the needs of the Apostle Paul in doing their work when it came to evangelism. Notice, if you will, as Paul describes exactly what it was that they did and how they did it. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as receiving, giving, and receiving, except you only. For even Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now notice again how they did it. Paul had a need in a different area, and they sent it directly to him. The early church, the apostles, did not set up some centralized location where the local bodies of Jesus Christ sent so much of their funds there, and they oversaw the distribution to gospel preachers. We know that as the Missionary Society. That is an institution that is completely foreign from the pages of inspiration. They supported gospel preaching the way God revealed God. gospel preaching needs to be supported. They sent it directly to the need. And that's the way they did benevolence, by the way, as well. In Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 29, it says, "And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren who dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." What did they do? They saw a need, and they sent it directly to the need. By the way, when you do it that way, how much of what you send gets to the need? 100%. And you can see the wisdom of God and how it is that he establishes these lines in regards to how it is that he wishes to get his purpose taken care of. The church at Philippi did evangelism God's way. And that's exactly how the church at the Clarksville place in southern Indiana, how we have always got to be in regards to evangelism and how it is that we support gospel preachers. God has authorized that God receives the glory. But also, the church at Philippi worshiped God. Notice again in Philippians 3 and verse 3, he says, "For we are of the circumcision, which worships in the Spirit." That is, the inward man is fully engaged. Oh, I wish I could be at the worship service of some of those early churches. Can you imagine the enthusiasm as they worshiped in spirit, the right energy, the right emotion, with the inward man engaged in the acts of worship? That's the way the church at Philippi was. We worship in the Spirit. In the church is where God is glorified. Let God be glorified in the church, Paul said, Ephesians 3 and verse 21. And the church at Clarksville needs to be about that. That when we come together in our Bible studies, when we come together in our worship service, we are here to bring honor and glory unto God. And you need to think that. You need to have that mental picture in your mind. You've got to engage your efforts and your energy and your emotion in such. This church worshiped God. That's what the Lord of the church did. I see in Acts 2 and 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking bread and fellowship, and in prayers. And I think you find four acts of worship right there. Fifth being the singing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. The church at Philippi, it is said, worshiped in spirit. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Paul told the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 14:15-16. How is it that we worship? We've talked about worship. We've talked about the church with 2020 vision. I did a whole series on worship a year ago. We've talked about worship again. Are you engaged in your mind? I got to tell you what, if you're nodding off during the singing or the prayer, you are not engaged. Figure out a way to be engaged in worship for 30 minutes. Get the inward man engaged. The right energy, the right emotion, the right attitude. This church worshiped God. And we must as well. And finally, they always obey. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also in my absence." I like that. Appreciate that. Not only did they obey when the apostles were around, but even when the apostle Paul left, he said, "You know what? You're still obeying God." Can that be said of us? By the way, how have we done on our little checklist tonight? As we thought about, you know what, we like to be like the church at Philippi. Are we like them? They obey God. You know, Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. Are we more interested in obeying God? "Blessed are they which do his commandments, for they shall have right to the tree of life and will enter into the gates of the city." That's how important obedience is. Happy are those who do that. They will regain the ability to go to the tree of life. You know, we lost that in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve left, that's one of the reasons why God kicked them out of the garden. Now that they've become like one of us, God said, knowing good or evil, lest they partake of the tree of life and live forever, we must send them out of the garden. And that's what they did. And you may recall, it said they put a cherubim on the outside, swords went either way, so that they could not come back to the tree of life. But the tree of life has been restored through Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do his commandments, for they shall have right to the tree of life. Enter into the gates of the city. I wonder what that fruit of that tree of life tastes like. You ever thought about that? Right to the tree of life. Enter into the gates of the city. This church always obeyed God. I like the church at Philippi. I love that book. I love the things the Apostle Paul did. I love seeing its beginning with Lydia and her household and the jailer. I wish I knew the jailer's name, by the way. And his household. As they obeyed the gospel and began that good church, they were fully organized. They had elders and deacons. They supported gospel preaching. They were bold to speak. They did evangelism God's ways. And they worshiped God. And not only that, they always obeyed God. Can that be said at the Clarksville Church of Christ? I hope that it can be. If it can't be, I hope that we'll make the correction necessary to not only make sure that it's being said right now, but can also be said not only now, but in future generations, that this good church can be like that city set up on a hill, a light to the rest of the world. You listen well tonight. I thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here tonight. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to the words of God. Go into the world, preach the good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that tonight. I think everyone that look around here has done that. Maybe there's something else we can help you do to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We're here, ready, willing, and able to help you right now. We extend the invitation. Sing this song to encourage you. Substitute it anyway. Come forward now and stand and sing.
All things are ready.